Tell Lisa whatever's on your mind. 203-333-9422. The Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
And welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. Today, we've been following Ukraine, as you know, from the very first horrible torrent of bullets that were rained down on the Ukrainian people. And joining us now is a Fairfield County resident, Natasha Yemets, who is here. She works for the town of Greenwich. She lives in Stamford. She has been, her umbilical cord to Ukraine has never quite been severed because her parents are there, her grandma's there, her sister, her niece, her brother-in-law, I'm sure many cousins. And her heart is there, but it's also firmly here. Natasha, welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. Hello and good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you very much, Lisa. And last time, you know, I spent so much time talking about everything. I didn't leave myself enough time to thank you. And I just want you to know how much I appreciate everybody's help, you know, starting with my coworkers and neighbors who come and reach out and express, you know, their sympathy. And you and your show and, you know, our senators. And it's just overwhelming. I'm really grateful, you know, to be in this country in these difficult times.
Natasha, did you attend any of the rallies over the weekend?
Yes. So I did go to the Greenwich one because, well, obviously that was very easy. That was my lunch break. You know, I just stepped out of the building. That same day, there was another one in Stamford, which I attended. And then my husband and I went to one on Times Square on Saturday.
You did? Okay. Yeah. Was that a big rally? Were you pleased? Did a lot of people turn out?
Yes, that was huge. That was huge. And I was very pleased to see people from all these different other countries supporting mm-hmm. Ukraine. You know, I saw people from Kazakhstan and from Georgia and from Uzbekistan. And, you know, definitely people, I don't know their native countries, but by the looks, I know they're not native Ukrainians. So it was just heartwarming to see the amount of support.
Yeah, and I'm sure you saw some Russians, too. There are a lot of Russian-Americans who are very yes. unhappy with what Russia is doing, terribly unhappy, very ashamed.
I actually, two Russians, one Russian couple standed with us, next to us, shoulder to shoulder in Stamford, and then my Ukrainian friend's Russian friend came over to Times Square. Her husband is Ukrainian. So she stood with us as well. Yes, yeah.
Yeah, because for Russians right now, you know, they don't want to be the subject of, you know, how this country gets where we get, you know, crazy with people in this country that are from other countries if we're having problems with the other country. Remember for a while people banned French fries. They were angry at the French. I mean, we do such ridiculous things. You got to remember that the people that are here, by and large, unless they're a spy, and of course there are some spies, but by and large, the people that are here from other countries are here because they embrace America, not because they love the country they left. They're here because they want to be here. They don't want to hear about their mother country, you know, attacking democratic other countries. That's the last thing they want to hear about. It's very upsetting for them.
A lot of my friends on Facebook post, I know this woman in Westport, you know, her daughter is a great musician, a piano player. She posted a message saying, guys, I am so sorry. I apologize. I feel terrible. I feel so guilty being Russian. And yeah, I feel bad for them as well because they do not share, you know, Putin's views. They don't want the war. They want peace. They want democracy. They want their kids to grow up in a democratic society, you know, learn the values. And they're extremely ashamed of what Russia's doing to Ukraine now. It's difficult. It's difficult. The whole thing is just such a huge nonsense that I
know.
Can't even talk.
It's hard to express it in words. Natasha, tell me what's happened with your sister and your niece. Give us up to date. You've got a niece who just turned 6 last week, a little one. And when you originally reached out to me, you were frantic because you thought that your niece should leave. You knew your parents wouldn't leave because they didn't want to leave your 88-year-old grandmother behind. but you wanted your sister and your niece to leave. And at the beginning of this war, your sister felt no, she wasn't going to leave. Has anything changed since then?
Yes. So in the beginning, you know, my brother-in-law and my sister said, we're staying here. We're going to defend the country. We believe, you know, everything will be great in the end and Ukraine will win. And I shared, you know, the emotions. But a couple days when, as you know, a nuclear power plant was attacked by Russians in Ukrainian town Zaporizhia. And there was a fire on that plant. And I was actually the first one in our family to learn about it because it happened during the night in Ukraine. And there is a 7-hour difference. So they were all asleep. And I was up checking the news. And around 1 a.m. In the morning, our time, I saw that there was a fire. And I saw those pictures. And I got really scared. So I texted my dad immediately, saying, listen, nuclear power, we don't know the details. We don't know how bad it is. So when he woke up and he saw the news, well, my sister woke up, she saw the news, she burst into tears, but she was crying in her bedroom. And then my dad saw the news and he walked into her bedroom and he said, honey, I think it's time you and your daughter leave this country. And so they called me, they said, you know what, we talked to her. She made the decision. I wanted to talk to her, but both my dad and my brother-in-law said, don't talk to her. She's so emotional. She can't even talk. She just cries all the time. So I didn't speak with her. And they said, so the plan is to get them out as soon as possible. That was, I believe, Friday. They couldn't get her on the bus on Friday. Then they were looking. So finally, they got some spots on the bus on Sunday, which was yesterday. And I know that she boarded the bus to cross the border with Poland yesterday around 11, maybe noon, our time. And I just heard back around 8 a.m. this morning that she finally crossed the border. I didn't have a chance to talk to her. I'm getting news from her husband. He just texted quickly. She's here, she's there. So when they got to the border, so just for the listeners to realize, Lviv is where my family lives. Well, they live in a small town next to Lviv, but from that place to the border, it's only 2, maybe 2.5 hour drive. It took my sister almost 20 hours to get to the customs point, to the border. So of that, 2 hours was driving, and then the rest was waiting in the line to cross the border. My mom said the line was about 5 kilometers, which is like four miles probably. And my question was, Mom, so they spent entire night, you know, on that bus. And I said, do they have a bathroom on the bus? And she's like, no. And I said, well, it's 20 hours, what did they do? And she's like, well, you know, get out of the bus and find the bushes in the winter when it's cold at night. It's overwhelming. And
did they have the proper, did they need any particular paperwork to get into Poland, Natasha, or were they able to just go in because they are Ukrainians?
So Poland is part of Schengen zone, and my sister and her husband got visas for Schengen zone a year or two ago. They traveled. They went to Germany. They went to Poland. You know, they went to a couple countries. So she has the paperwork to legally cross the border. However, and I want to reiterate how thankful I am to the Polish people, when this crisis started, they said, you know what, come over. You can cross the border with any type of document, whether you have international passport, you don't have international, just use your Ukrainian passport. Even if you don't have a passport, we'll figure something out. So they are practically, you know, letting people cross with any type of document or even without
documents. Did you happen to see, we're chatting with Natasha from Stanford, did you happen to see that in Berlin they did this massive donation gathering drive of baby carriages and different kinds of things for children, so that when the people, and they did this, this organization that had, they just did this massive drive so that when the immigrants come to Berlin, they will immediately be able to have carriages and things for their babies.
Yeah, I saw that picture on the internet.
Yeah. So, Natasha, so your sister, so your brother-in-law is still in Ukraine. Your sister and your niece have made it into Poland. Do they have friends in Poland? Are they staying in a hotel in Poland? Where are they staying?
So today they're spending one night in a hotel not too far from the border. And then tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., they're taking a train and they're going to this little town, almost a village. And I can't remember the name. My brother-in-law, said, but because it's not my country, it's
okay.
But so she'll rent a room there until either the war ends and she goes back, to Ukraine, or hopefully she can get a visa and come over and stay with me as a guest for a couple of months, again, until the war ends and she can go back home.
Do you feel better? Do you sleep sounder believing that your sister and your niece are now safer in Poland than they were in Ukraine? Do you feel better?
I do. It's still a little hard because she's there. Well, she says that she knows one or two people. She used to work with somebody and she used to help someone. So she kind of knows a couple people. But still, when I think of her being there in a foreign country, different language, she understands Polish, but I don't know how fluently you can, communicate. You don't have a pediatrician. You don't have a dentist. You don't have, she'll have to find ways, where to buy food, what to do with her daughter. She needs socializing. She needs,
school.
When I think of how she is there by herself with a little child and there is nobody to, when she's stressed or, in a terrible situation, there is nobody that she can come and hug and say, no.
There are. That's the kindness of strangers, Natasha. These strangers are being unbelievably kind. That's what it is.
Yeah. I think she'll be okay financially. I know she got the money from my parents and she got, some of her personal money. So she'll have, enough to support her for maybe even a couple months. And I know if she runs out and there is no way for me to transfer the funds to her, what I'll do, I'll just buy a plane, ticket to Warsaw and come over there to get her money. But the thing is, with visas, I truly hope that she can come to the U.S. and stay with us because it will be so much easier for everybody. She doesn't have to find a room to stay because who knows how long she can stay in the apartment. It's not even an apartment. It's a room in the apartment.
Right.
This is
the stressful crisis time, but things will hopefully settle down and she'll either be able to come here to you or she'll be able to go home. That's the number one hope, that this whole thing will go away. And are you hearing anything from your family in Ukraine about their own resolve to fight for their country? Is that still very strong?
Yes. And as you know, I think there is a third round of talks that Russia tries to, have with Ukraine. Of course, they want to have them on Belarus land, which doesn't make sense because Belarus helps Russia in this aggression. I don't think Ukraine will ever surrender any piece of land. I don't think Ukraine will forgive, all the blood and all the lost lives and agree to the conditions that Russia wants. And people will fight. People will fight to the end. I didn't hear any, of course, TV, they want to keep everybody's, mood fighting in a fighting state. But I talked to my brother-in-law and all guys, even Ukrainians who were abroad, went back to fight. Men went back to fight for the country. You know, Ukraine has been fighting for centuries. Ukraine was under Austria. Ukraine was under Poland. Ukraine was under Soviets. And somehow everybody wanted a piece of Ukraine at some point in this history. So Ukraine has been independent for only the last, 30 years?
Yes.
And
yes.
They're not giving it up.
They're not going to give it up because they like it. They like self-determination. They like it. Yep.
Yes. And becoming part of Russia with their regime will not be an option for people who know what freedom is.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Natasha. Thank you for coming on again. Godspeed
sure.
to you
Thank
and your
you.
Family. We hope they're all safe and sound wherever they are, wherever they land. And I hope you come back on the show and share your story and the saga of your family. We thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you. And I hope I'll be able to come on the show with my sister. And you can
Me
talk
too.
To her.
Me too. I would love that. I would love
thank
that.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Natasha Yemets from our own community from Stanford, 203-333-9422. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to have a guest on who is a professor at the University of New Haven, Howard Stauffer, who has spent many, many years in the Foreign Service. He's going to speak with knowledge about diplomacy. We're going to get into some of the specifics of that, the realistic situation as people are analyzing it in real terms. 203-333-9422. And you're welcome to give us a call or a comment in the next half hour as well. We'll be right back.